Let's get it started. All right, let's do this.
My name is Dulce Valencia, and welcome to Telenovelas con Dulce, the podcast where each week I guide you through the dramatic world of telenovelas, covering everything from the plot, the insults, the secret twins, and the unforgettable love stories in between. This is a podcast made for telenovela lovers just like me. Bienvenidos and welcome back to Telenovelas con Dulce. Hi friends, listening in. How are you doing today? I hope you're all doing well. I gotta be honest with y'all, this podcast recording almost didn't happen. I'm getting ready to travel and one thing led to another and right now is the only time I have to record and I leave in a few hours, but it's okay. It's all good. We got this. Today, I'm excited to be talking about a telenovela that I've covered a little bit before, but again, as I mentioned, we're in a new era, new year, and we're going to cover it again. We're going to talk about it. It's called Te Sigo Amando, and can we get a moment of appreciation for that title? Because that's something I haven't talked to you all about, or I haven't, like, hearkened on as much as I do in my own personal life, because telenovela titles are so iconic. And I, like, Te Sigo Amando, like, chef's kiss. And it also ties to the end, which I'm really excited to talk about. But fun fact, a lot of telenovelas have the word amor in there. I mean, here we have a variation of that. Amando, you know, means I still love you. But yeah, like, so many telenovelas have amor in the title, amor en silencio, destilando amor, now I'm blanking on every single telenovela title, but that's a very common thing, so Te Sigo Amando, iconic title, iconic song, theme song, okay, but I'm getting ahead of myself, so let me focus, today we're gonna be talking about the 1996 classic Te Sigo Amando. Te Sigo Amando was a Televisa production with an original story by Delia Fiallo and adapted for television by René Muñoz. The telenovela was produced by the one and only Carla Estrada, and before we even get started, let me just say, I didn't intend to cover so many Carla Estrada telenovelas. I know y'all aren't gonna believe me because, as I mentioned multiple times, I'm a huge Carla Estrada fan. But I promise y'all, when I was making this list, I was just making a list of telenovelas that I knew had captivated the nation in years past. And I wanted to, you know, I wanted to talk about some fun telenovelas. And it wasn't until I started recording that I realized so many of the telenovelas that I'm covering are Carla Estrada productions, but that is not on purpose, I promise. Anyway, the telenovela starred Claudia Ramirez and Luis José Santander as the main couple, with Sergio Goyri, Olivia Collins, and Carmen Montejo as the antagonist. Sergio Goyri and I have beef ever since he said those racist comments about Yalitza Aparicio, but I'm trying to separate the art from the artist, and this telenovela was, like, huge, and he in particular was acclaimed for his role as the antagonist. The story here revolves around Yulisa Torres Quintero, a young woman from a wealthy family who is forced to marry the cruel and manipulative Ignacio Aguirre to save her family from financial ruin. Yulisa's true love, however, is Luis Angel Saldivar, a talented orthopedic surgeon who specializes in treating underprivileged patients. So we're gonna go ahead and jump into some fun facts. The telenovela was based on a radio novela called La Mujer Que No Podía Amar that was written by Delia Fiallo, which has been adapted several times for television, including Monte Calvario in 1986, and a version that you all might be familiar with, La Que No Podía Amar, in 2011. René Muñoz, who adapted the story, was also a very talented actor. You may remember him as playing Mojarras in La Usurpadora, which is another telenovela I've covered, and he collaborated extensively with Carla Estrada. He often worked with her as a writer on her telenovelas and also acted in roles. And they worked together in, notably in one of her breakthrough hits, Quinceañera. And he passed away from, I believe it was cancer when he was only like 60 years old. He was very young and he was actually shooting a telenovela at the time that he passed away. But Carla Estrada talks about how difficult it was to do her first telenovela without him because, again, they had been such close collaborators up until his death. The theme song of this telenovela was called Te Sigo Amando and was sung by Juan Gabriel. And this song, listen to it. Listen to it. I cannot play it for you all for copyright reasons, but listen to it, please, because it is so good. And when you have someone like Juan Gabriel singing your theme song, like, it's just bound to be a success. And this was no exception because this telenovela was super, super, super popular. It launched Sergio Goyri to new levels of stardom and commercial success. The telenovela received several awards and nominations, including Best Actor for Sergio Goyri and Best Young Actor for Osvaldo Benavides in the Premio TV Novela Awards in 1998. If the name Osvaldo Benavides sounds familiar, that is because he played none other than our favorite meathead. I don't know if that's the right word, but our favorite screw up, Dimitrio, in Lo que la vida me robó. And this was one of his, I don't know if it was his first role, but it was one of his earlier roles when he was still like a teen. But love that for him. Osvaldo Benavides is one of my favorite telenovela actors. And I have, he's on my list of people I want to work with. So y'all may know, y'all may not know. I talk about it sometimes. I'm a writer, and I have a list of telenovela actors that I want to work with. I primarily work on, I guess, US-based content. Like, I write scripts and I primarily focus on features and TV series. These are all spec scripts that I hope someday will sell and get made. But I have a list of actors that I want to work with, and they're all telenovela actors specifically, because I think we have some of the most talented actors in the world, and oftentimes they, especially American audiences, don't pay really attention to them because they are dismissed as being just like the cheesy telenovela actors. And it hurts my soul because someone like, for example, I've talked about it, Barbara Mori. Excellent actress, and she's done more cinema, but excellent actress. Osvaldo Benavides, excellent actor. Fernando Colunga, excellent actor. What's her name? Oh my God, I'm blanking on names. I just talked to her about her in Destilando Amor, but the actress who played Luisa in Teresa and played the role of Daniela in Destilando Amor, excellent actress. And I think we need more of them. And yeah, okay. So, but the I went off on a tangent there, but those are the fun facts. The telenovela obviously was filled with twists, turns, and it was great. It was great. It's a really fun telenovela to watch. And without further ado, we're just gonna go ahead and talk about the plot. Spoiler alert, obviously, if you haven't seen it and want to watch it or give it a shot. And obviously, I won't be covering every. Ah, I'm sorry, I can't talk. I won't be covering everything, but you'll get a nice taste of what this telenovela is all about. So, first of all, let me set the stage for you all. We have Yulisa Torres Quintero, a beautiful young woman from an upper social class who was orphaned at a very young age. Therefore, her and her brother Alberto were raised by her cruel grandmother, Doña Paula Garza, viuda de Torres Quintero, who pretends to be sick to manipulate her grandchildren. She is not a good person in this telenovela. Then, after several years, Paula is left broke and penniless. So, what does she decide to do? She decides to mortgage off all of her assets to the wealthy landowner, Ignacio Aguirre, who is the owner of Arroyo Negro Hacienda. And she does this as a last resort to survive and try to avoid poverty. Ignacio Aguirre, however, is a ruthless and violent man. Everyone hates him. Like, no one likes him, including his sister, Leticia. And then, lo and behold, he meets Yulisa, and Ignacio becomes infatuated with her and wants her for himself. So, a normal man might try to court her, might try to, I don't know, shoot his shot and then hopefully respectively re respect the decision of the woman who, will either reject or accept him, but not Ignacio, no. And then we have Paula, obviously the grandmother, who is desperate to get money, so she devises a plan which consists of marrying her granddaughter to Ignacio, even though her granddaughter obviously does not love him and does not want to marry him. Her, Paula, and Graciela from Lo que la vida me robó would get along because they see problems with money and they're like, I have a daughter, I have a granddaughter, let me marry her off to a wealthy man. Horrible, horrible, horrible. But yeah, that's what happens. So then shortly after this, however, because again, what's her name? Yulisa is like, I'm not marrying him. But El Destino has other plans because shortly after, Ignacio suffers an accident when he falls off his horse, which leaves him seriously injured in the spine. And when Alberto, who's a doctor and Yulisa's brother, tries to cure him, the operation goes wrong and Ignacio ends up paralyzed. Ignacio becomes enraged, he has major anger issues, and decides to use this to his advantage. And with Paula's consent, he has Yulisa marry him in exchange for him forgiving not only Paula's debt, but also not pursuing legal action or harming Alberto. So to save her family, Yulisa accepts the compromise, even though it's not really a compromise. It's literally she is sold off, which is, again, women in telenovelas sometimes don't have a lot of autonomy. And in this case, Yulisa has to do what she has to do to save her family. And from there on, we meet Luis Ángel Saldívar, who is a young surgeon specialized in orthopedics who dedicates himself to his profession. And he has discovered a brilliant surgical technique that rehabilitates the disabled, and he has earned a lot of recognition in the medical community through this invention. And however, he's like a good person, so instead of like, making off a lot of money and only serving the wealthy, he actually dedicates his time to help disabled people who don't have the resources to pay for treatment. He's our hero, he's a good guy, and we love him for it. I guess, I don't know. I feel indifferent to him, honestly. But anyway, back to Yulisa. She's tormented because obviously being married to what's his name, Ignacio, is not the vibe, and she wants to get away. So finally, she's able to gather enough courage, and she actually runs away to Puerto Escondido, which is the small town where Luis Ángel works out of, and there the two meet, and obviously they fall in love. However, they have to face Ignacio's wrath, blackmail, threats, and lo and behold, Yulisa is forced to return to his side and sacrifice the love she feels for Luis Ángel once again. And however, it doesn't end there because Ignacio finds out through a newspaper about the existence of a famous doctor who could potentially cure him. And who's that doctor, you may be wondering? None other than, of course, Luis Ángel. And so, hoping that he'll be able to someday walk again, Ignacio has his sister, Leticia, bring Luis Ángel to Arroyo Negro as soon as possible. Leticia goes and fetches him, and in the process, she falls madly in love with Luis Ángel. And so when Luis Ángel comes back, him and Yulisa meet again, and another love, I mean, not another love, but the love that they felt before comes back again. But also, now they're not just dealing with Ignacio, they're also dealing with Leticia, who is obsessed with Luis Ángel. And there's like a lot of resentment, there's a lot of quarrels, and there's also a pregnancy because, yes, La Yulisa becomes pregnant. The father is none other than Luis Ángel. And so, when este, ¿cómo se llama? Oh my God, why am I blanking on his name? I've said it a million times. When Ignacio finds out that Yulisa is pregnant and that the child she's expecting is Luis Ángel's, he loses his marbles. He has, throughout this telenovela, not been a good person. That's not stopping anytime soon, but he like loses it. And so he devises a plan with the help of Leticia to make the baby disappear. And you know, it's wild. Luis Angel ends up actually marrying Leticia, and Yulisa is just heartbroken because not only has she lost her son, but she's also like dealing with Luis Angel, who's now married to someone else. And Yulisa now wants to abandon Ignacio permanently and live her life away from all this chaos, but he obviously is not gonna get let her get away with it so fast. So then what happens in the end? We get to the ending, and you know, Ignacio's just a drama queen. So what does he do? What any sane drama queen would do? He kidnaps a baby. So he kidnaps Yulisa's baby to try to get her to beg on her knees for the life of her son. And then there's this really dramatic scene at the end where he's like on a horse and trying to run away, and he's not able to get away. Why not, you may be wondering? Because Justina, who is this character, she's this older woman who raised Ignacio like her own son, pulls out a gun and she pew pew, she shoots him dead as he's trying to run away with a child. So she is actually the one that stops him. And then Ignacio is on the floor. The baby is saved. Everyone's crying, including Justina, because she's now had to shoot someone she cared for like a son. They all gather around him. Yulisa holds him, and freaking Ignacio looks at her and he's like, "Yulisa. Quiero que sepas que a pesar de todo, te sigo amando." And when I tell you those lines captivated an entire country, I mean it, because it was iconic. I mean, we get a killer last line for our villain, but we also get the title, the name drop of the telenovela, and it is so cool. It is so dramatic. Everyone's crying. And here's the thing. Here's the thing that I haven't talked about, that I'll like go off on a little tangent for. But despite Ignacio being the villain, people loved him. Like, people fell in love with Sergio Goyri through this telenovela. He played a cruel, manipulative man, and people were like, yeah, he's about to kidnap a baby, and yeah, he's like, you know, he will resort to killing people that get in his way, but we love him. And that is fascinating to me because, yeah, like, I mean, we see it with Ruby, obviously, who's an anti-hero, but like, Ruby wasn't as evil as this man, Ignacio. And then for him to utter those last lines, which for my non-English speakers, that translates to, "Despite everything, I still love you." And oh my goodness, it was a moment in time, captivated the country. And so Ignacio dies, and the telenovela takes a turn, because you would think that with Ignacio dead, Yulisa's gonna run off with Luis Angel and they're both gonna be happy together. But no, that doesn't happen. After this, Yulisa returns to Luis Angel, and instead of getting the classic telenovela ending with a wedding, she asks him to give her some time because she needs to get a hold of her feelings and emotions. And yeah, so we don't get the traditional happy wedding telenovela ending, and I think it makes it more powerful for that. I mean, Carla Estrada was all about norm breaking and making her telenovelas be something that wasn't the usual, and she did this again with this telenovela, and it was wonderful to watch. It was wonderful to watch and to see Yulisa, who's someone that has had to be, you know, manipulated by everyone around her, to finally be free and get to make her own choices, even if that means, you know, taking some time for herself. That's powerful. That's powerful. And this ending is notably very different from the ending of Lo que la vida me, not Lo que la vida me robó, La que no podía amar, because these were both based from the same story, but La can't talk. But La que no podía amar ends in a much more traditional telenovela ending. And what's it called? I don't know. I actually haven't looked up if it was well received or not, but it's a much
I mean, I'm gonna spoil it for y'all, but in the end of La Que No Podía Amar, what's his name? The guy who Jorge Salinas, who plays the Ignacio character, kind of has a change of heart and becomes, like, I guess, a good person. And the person who's supposed to play Yulisa is in love with him, and they get married, and the ending is a wedding, which I think, actually, I've been reading into this a lot, where a lot of people, audiences particularly, don't like newer telenovelas because they tend to, one, if they adapt older telenovelas, they lose the charm of the older version, but also they lose the stakes. Like, everything ends happily, and they miss the more realistic endings of telenovelas past, which you would think would be the opposite, because obviously telenovelas have structure, and in the end, they're supposed to end happily. But I'm not making any sense right now, so I'm gonna make my thoughts more consistent and come back to this next week when I talk about our next telenovela, because it's something fascinating as someone who watches a lot of telenovelas and, like, reads into audiences' perceptions of them. It's really fascinating to see what audiences like or not like. And Te Sigo Amando, like, audiences loved Te Sigo Amando, they loved Ignacio, and they loved that iconic ending. Yulisa, a pesar de todo, te sigo amando. And that about wraps it for today. Thank you all so much for listening. Next week is our final episode of this, I guess, new season. I'm going to be talking about En Nombre del Amor, which I'm really excited. It's a newer telenovela, newer but older. It is so wonderful. It is so wonderful. I love it so much. So if you have any thoughts about what telenovelas I should be covering during the summer season, let me know. Send me your thoughts. Send me your thoughts, or else I'm just gonna choose whatever I like. And that is it for this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Take care, and I will see you all again next week. Bye, everyone.